The Wizard of Oz, The Final Journey. The people of the Emerald City were very sad to lose the wonderful wizard, but they were also proud that the Scarecrow was now their ruler. "What other city," they said, "is ruled by a stuffed man?" The morning after Oz had gone up in the balloon, the four travelers met in the throne room. The Scarecrow sat on the big throne, and the others stood respectfully before him.
"When I remember that just a short time ago, I was up a pole in a farmer's cornfield," said the new ruler, "I am quite satisfied with my lot."
"I wish I were," said Dorothy. "But all I want is to live in Kansas with Aunt Em and Uncle Henry. I don't know how I shall get back now that Oz has disappeared."
"I've been thinking," said the Scarecrow. "Why don't you call the winged monkeys and ask them to carry you over the desert to Kansas?"
"What a good idea," said Dorothy joyfully. She put the golden cap on her head and spoke the magic words.
Eppy, peppy, khaki, zizzy, zuzzy, zeke.
Soon the band of winged monkeys was standing beside her.
"Please take me to Kansas," she said.
The Monkey King shook his head gravely.
"That cannot be done. We belong to this country alone and cannot leave it. We shall be glad to help you in any way in our power. But we cannot cross the desert."
With a bow, the Monkey King spread his wings and flew away through the window, followed by his band. Dorothy could have cried. She was so disappointed. But the Scarecrow had been thinking again, and he now suggested that they call in the Soldier with Green Whiskers and ask for his advice.
"There is only one person who might be able to help Dorothy," said the Soldier, "and that is Glinda, the Witch of the South. She rules over the Quadlings and is the most powerful of all the witches. She's also a good witch. What is more, her castle stands on the edge of the desert, so she may know a way to cross it."
"How can I get to her castle?" asked Dorothy.
"The road is straight to the south, but it's full of dangers to travellers."
It seems," said the Scarecrow, "that despite the dangers, Dorothy must travel to the land of the south."
"I will go with her," said the Lion, "for she will need someone to protect her."
"Then I will go too,"
said the Tin Man.
"And I," said the Scarecrow. "I'll never leave Dorothy until she starts back to Kansas for good and all."
So, early next morning, the travelers set out across the green fields that surrounded the Emerald City. They walked until they entered a great forest, where the trees were bigger than any they had ever seen.
"What a delightful place,"
declared the Lion.
"I should like to live here all my life."
At that moment, they heard a low rumble, like the growling of many wild animals. And there, in a clearing, were hundreds of beasts. There were tigers and elephants and bears and wolves and foxes. And for a moment, Dorothy was afraid. But the Lion explained that the animals were holding a meeting, and he judged by their snarling and growling that they were in great trouble. As he spoke, the animals fell silent, and the biggest of all the tigers came up to him.
"Welcome, O King of Beasts. You have come in good time to fight our enemy. It is a most tremendous monster. It is like a great spider, with a body as big as an elephant and eight legs as long as tree trunks. Not one of us is safe while it's alive.
Are there any other lions in this forest?
Asked the lion.
No, there were some, but the monster has eaten them all. And besides, none of them were as large and brave as you.
If I destroy your enemy, will you bow down to me and obey me as king of the forest?
Asked the lion.
We will do that gladly, replied the tiger.
We will!
Roared the other beasts. The lion said goodbye to his friends and boldly marched away. He found his enemy lying asleep among the trees. With a great leap, he landed on the monster's back, and with a blow of his paw, he knocked the spider's head from its body. Then he jumped down and walked back to the clearing.
You need fear your enemy no longer,
the lion proudly told the beasts. Then they bowed down to him as their king, and he promised to come back and rule over them as soon as Dorothy was safely on her way to Kansas. The four travelers walked on through the forest. When they finally came out of its gloom, they saw a steep hill covered from top to bottom with great rocks.
This'll be a hard climb, said the Scarecrow. But we must get over the hill.
So he led the way, and the others followed. They'd nearly reached the first rock when they heard a rough voice cry out,
Keep back! This hill belongs to us, and we won't allow anyone to cross it.
The strangest man the travelers had ever seen then stepped out from behind the rock. He was quite short and stout, and had a big head, which was flat at the top and supported by a thick neck full of wrinkles. But he had no arms at all. So the Scarecrow walked forward and said,
We must pass over your hill, whether you like it or not.
As quick as lightning, the man's head shot forward, and his neck stretched out until the top of his head struck the Scarecrow and sent him tumbling down the hill. Almost as quickly as it came, the head went back into his body.
It isn't as easy as you think,
said the man with a harsh laugh. And then the travelers heard a chorus of boisterous laughter as hundreds of armless hammerheads stepped out from behind the rocks. With a loud roar that echoed like thunder, the lion dashed up the hill. Again, a head shot out, and the great lion went rolling down the hill as if he'd been struck by a cannonball. What shall we do? Asked Dorothy as she helped her friends to their feet.
Call the winged monkeys,
said the Tin Man.
You have the right to command them one more time.
Very well, she answered, and putting on the golden cap, she chanted the magic words.
Eppy, Peppy, Khaki, Zizzy, Zuzzy, Zeke.
The monkeys were as prompt as ever, and in a few moments they stood before her. Carry us over the hill to the country of the Quadlings, commanded Dorothy.
It shall be done,
said the king. And at once the winged monkeys caught the travelers in their arms and flew away with them. As they passed over the hill, the hammerheads yelled angrily and shot their heads high in the air. But they couldn't reach the winged monkeys. And soon Dorothy and her friends were standing in the beautiful country of the Quadlings. Pretty rippling brooks burbled among fields of ripening corn. The fences, houses, and bridges were all painted red, and the short, fat Quadlings were dressed in red clothes. They gladly showed Dorothy the way to Glinda's castle. The gates of Glinda's castle were guarded by three young girls dressed in handsome red uniforms. They led the travellers to a big room, where the young and beautiful Glinda sat upon a throne of rubies. "What can I do for you, my child?" she said, smiling kindly. Dorothy told the story of her adventures in the Land of Oz. Then she said, "My greatest wish is to get back to Kansas, for Aunt Em will surely think something dreadful has happened to me. I am sure I can help you. But in return, you must give me the golden cap." "Willingly," exclaimed Dorothy. "It means you can command the winged monkeys just 3 times, and I shall need their services those 3 times to carry the Scarecrow to the Emerald City, the Lion to the forest, and the Tin Man to the Winkies. The silver shoes will carry you over the desert, Dorothy. If you had known their power, you could have gone back to your Aunt Em the day you came to this country."
"But then I should not have had my wonderful brains," said the Scarecrow. "And I should not have had my lovely heart,"
said the Tin Man.
"And I should have lived like a coward forever," declared the Lion.
"This is true," said Dorothy. "And I'm glad I've helped all my friends. But now I should like to go back to Kansas."
"All you have to do," said Glinda, "is knock the heels of the shoes together 3 times and command them to carry you wherever you wish. You will get there in the twinkling of an eye."
"Then it's time for me to say goodbye," said Dorothy. She threw her arms around the Lion's neck and kissed him, patting his big head tenderly. Then she kissed the Tin Man, who was weeping in a way most dangerous to his joints. Finally, she hugged the soft, stuffed body of the Scarecrow and found that she was crying herself. Glinda stepped down from her throne and gave the little girl a goodbye kiss. Then Dorothy picked up Toto, clapped the heels of her shoes together 3 times and said, "Take me home to Aunt Em." Instantly, she was whirling through the air, so swiftly that all she could see or feel was the wind whistling past her ears. Then the silver shoes took 3 steps, and she found herself sitting on the broad Kansas prairie, right in front of the house Uncle Henry had built after the cyclone had carried the old one away. Dorothy leapt to her feet. She didn't notice that the silver shoes had fallen off in her flight across the desert. Instead, she ran as fast as she could into the arms of Aunt Em, who was just coming outside.
"Darling child," Aunt Em cried, "where in the world have you come from?"
"From the Land of Oz," said Dorothy gravely. "And oh, Aunt Em, I'm so glad to be home again."